Secret global bank transactions under the microscope.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. The U.S. Justice Department is stepping up its probes into big global banks, banks that have ties to countries that aren't so friendly with the United States, Cuba, Iran, Libya. The giant British bank Barclays is the latest to settle on the issue of handling secret transactions with those countries, agreeing to pay $300 million in fines. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live to talk about those fines. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
How much do we know about this case?
Barclays has admitted funneling up to $500 million into the U.S. banking system from banks in prohibited countries, such as the ones you mentioned, countries against which the U.S. or the international community have applied sanctions.
Did the bank, Stephen, know where the money was coming from?
Yes. The Department of Justice accused Barclays of knowingly and willfully breaking sanctions, and the bank has accepted that. It's agreed to pay this fine of $300 million and to tighten its procedures. Barclays, by the way, is very keen to keep in with the U.S. authorities. Remember, it bought a big chunk of Lehman Brothers, and Barclays is now trying to establish a major presence on Wall Street.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, I'm curious, Stephen, how many other banks have been caught doing this?
Well, this certainly isn't the first. I mean, we've had Lloyds, another British bank, and also the Swiss bank Credit Suisse have both paid hefty sums to settle similar claims. Richard Hunter is with stockbrokers Hargreaves Lansdown. He says this is all a result of the much closer attention the U.S. pays to international banking transactions following 9/11, and there could be more cases in the pipeline.
In general terms, there has been a coordinated global effort to put a lid on terrorism, particularly through the financial system. So on that basis, we could expect some more to come.
And especially if the transactions involve Iran. Analysts say Iran, because of its nuclear ambitions, is now the main focus of U.S. scrutiny.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
We've been talking about skyrocketing prices in global commodities lately. And cotton is the latest to see its prices jump. It all comes down to supply, demand, and global natural disasters. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Floods and landslides damaged the supply of cotton coming from China, the world's largest cotton producer. And the horrific floods in Pakistan destroyed about a third of that country's crop. Global inventories are running low. At the same time, consumers in China and India are buying more clothes, so demand for cotton is rising.
The mills are scrambling, trying to find supplies, and that pipeline is empty right now.
That's independent cotton analyst Mike Stevens. He says supplies will remain tight until the harvest in October.
This is going to be a good year for cotton farmers in the United States.
But it's not such a good year for manufacturers. For companies like Hanes and Levi Strauss, higher cotton prices add up to millions of dollars in extra expenses. Stevens says apparel companies will pass along those higher costs.
Our days are numbered as far as cheap clothes.
He expects retail prices for clothing will get more expensive just in time for the holiday shopping season. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Stocks are rebounding a bit today after a sluggish start to the week. Let's do the numbers. European shares are higher at the moment, 1% or better. Amid not-so-good economic news in Japan, investors remain cautious in Asia about the global economic recovery. Stocks were mixed there today. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P was flat. The NASDAQ added more than 0.33%. The Dow was down a mere 1 point to close at 10,302.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. By Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Ranchers in the West say cattle branding with a hot iron is still the best way to separate their livestock from their neighbors. In Colorado, branding is mandatory, and a rancher's brand is private property that can be bought and sold. And that's given rise to a lucrative market. Colorado Public Radio's Zachary Barr reports.
Ex-rancher Mark Allard's hanging out at the county fair. He's on one side of the fairgrounds, and clear on the other side are the cattle. and that's fine by him.
The only place I want to see a cow's on the plate.
After 50 years in the business, Allard decided to quit. He says it's too hard to make a living. He sold the ranch, but he's still got one thing up for sale, his cattle brand.
I had it since I was a kid. Kept it forever.
Allard hasn't yet found a buyer, but he has a good idea of what that buyer's name is.
You know, if your name's Al, it's real good.
Al is the brand. It's the letters A and L with a bar underneath, and it doesn't come cheap.
Oh, probably in the $3,000 to $4,000 range.
I'll give you $1,500.
No, not enough.
Allard's price is high because ranchers covet simple one- and two-letter brands. But those haven't been available for decades. In fact, finding anything that works can be tough. Around 33,000 unique brands are registered in Colorado. But a few weeks ago, it had even more. At his office, Brand Commissioner Rick Whaler opens a filing cabinet. It contains paperwork from 4,000 newly canceled brands.
See, like some of these, like this one, was first recorded in 1950. And they just didn't pay the last assessment.
A five-year assessment now costs $225. That's double what it was a few years ago. Whaler says that fee increase is causing people to give up brands they no longer need. But before you book a flight to Denver to start a career flipping cattle brands, you should know most of the recently canceled brands aren't so valuable.
This brand is stacked a quarter circle shed in water over a Z connected to a Lazy J down on the right.
In other words, it's no Al. In Denver, I'm Zachary Barr for Marketplace.
And finally, social network giant Facebook officially has a like button with a thumbs up symbol for friends who want to show they agree with a post or a picture. It doesn't, however, have a dislike button. Wouldn't you know it, a spammer found a way to trick people into thinking they could download and install a dislike button. What they downloaded instead was a bug that sent all their friends a spam message. Millions on Facebook advocate an official dislike button. There's always the old-fashioned method, though, of showing your disapproval of what a friend says. Unfriend them. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.